Danielle Belude from Restaurant Danielle and the Dynex Group. He currently owns and operates 15 restaurants worldwide. And I think what makes Daniel Boulud special, in addition to being a three Michelin star chef, is that each location that he opens, whether it's Singapore, most recently Boston, New York, or anywhere, is that he has such a consistent brand and product. And you know when you're going to eat at a Daniel Boulud restaurant that you're getting a Daniel Boulud experience. And I think that that's, you know, fundamentally how I base my business, that, you know, whether you're going to D-Bar, Boston Shops, or Duave, that you're getting a consistent Chris Coombs experience. And I hope to be able to continue to scale that through the years and remain consistent and keep the brand as strong as he has before me. So.
That's amazing, Chef. And one thing, you know, that I have to point out is you get on your line. You know, you even said it. You know, I couldn't do this show tonight if it wasn't for my team, you know, because you're a chef who gets on your line and you bang pans with the rest of your chefs. You command that respect for them because you're willing to do the exact same thing that they're doing every night. You know, you don't put yourself on a pedestal, Chef, even though you kind of are a pretty big thing. You know, you're a really big thing in my eyes. I admire you a lot.
Well, I mean, for me, I still love it. And the day that I don't love cooking anymore is the day that I simply just won't do it anymore. And I think that, you know, granted, you know, I'm not on the line 7 nights a week anymore, just because there's so many things going on. But when I can be on the line and cooking and creating and contributing with my, you know, my chef de cuisines and all my cooks, you know, that's really where I feel the most comfortable. And, you know, that's what I've been doing almost my entire life now. So I do love it. And it is a passion. And I just feel, I feel blessed to be, you know, in the right place at the right time so many times in a row. And really to just be able to provide people with nourishment on a daily basis that, you know, that they enjoy and provide people with an experience that, you know, they remember for a long time. So.
It's fantastic that you're saying that, Chef. And I can honestly tell you this: I'm down in Boston. I know darn well where I'm going to eat at, without a doubt. And I plan to take a trip to Boston for a day before heading out to New York to finish shooting the rest of the Untamed Chef. So I'm looking forward to trying what I know you create, because your pictures are unbelievable that you post on social media. And it's amazing, Chef, because you're a young guy, and you don't think young at all. You have high ambitions, and just what you said about, you know, MasterChef Daniel Boulud is incredible, because those are the kind of people that we try to imitate every day, because that's who we want to be. And I respect you so much for that, Chef Christopher. Without a doubt, that is one of the best answers I've ever heard. So thank you so much. Okay, so moving along here, I got to ask you. You travel all over the world. I know that a couple of weeks ago you were in Italy and you were doing some stuff out there. So I got to ask you, this is probably going to be an interesting one. What is the weirdest or craziest thing that you've ever eaten?
The craziest thing that I've ever eaten. Well, I've eaten some pretty crazy things in my life. You know, as far as crazy and not delicious or crazy and delicious, I think I'd have to separate the two of them out. So crazy and not so crazy and not delicious. It's actually a tie for first place. First of which would be cod sperm, which I actually had in Southeast Asia, and I did not much enjoy that. And then also sea urchin roe, which is only produced like once every 2 years in the life cycle of a sea urchin. It's a delicacy and very expensive. And I actually had that at Nui, a very, very fancy Japanese sushi restaurant down in Brickell, down in Miami. Also did not enjoy that very much. But as far as, you know, what the American palate thinks is crazy, there's some stuff that I've consumed in Southeast Asia that was, you know, I mean, I don't know that I can even share what it actually is, because, I might have PETA after me, but let's just say I've eaten everything from household pets to, you know, brains and things like that. So I think you have to try everything once, and you know, generally if it's already dead, I'll eat it. So.
That's amazing, Chef. And what's cool about that is that's a really good thing, you know, especially for our young culinarians that listen, and we do have a lot of them. It's very important to be willing to try everything at least once, you know. At least you have to know what it tastes like, and more importantly, you can't really say I want to be a chef or this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, you're afraid of food. One thing we have to remember is we cannot be afraid of food at all. And, you know, that was a really good answer right there, Chef. I guarantee you, I don't think a caller in history on my show has ever said cod sperm before. And between me and you, that's something I probably would taste. I don't know if I would actually eat and enjoy.
Yeah,
like
it's
said,
not that it's not that good, come to find out. But it's around. I mean, you can get it. You can get it. That's for sure. So, and it wasn't like it just wasn't prepared well. It's just sort of the nature of the beast that it's not delicious. So.
That's very interesting. And the sea urchin road too. That's unique. I've heard of that. I've never tried that personally, Chef Chris. So I think
right.
that's very
actually
unique.
I may have said the wrong thing or maybe you repeated it wrong, but it's actually sea cucumber roe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now I've never heard of that. There, that is insane.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm glad that you're brave enough to try it, Chef, because I guarantee you half our listeners are not. But, hey, if it ever comes past me, I'm going to try it. So I can say, hey, me and Chef Chris, we both have tried this. We both probably didn't like it because, you know, I see the pictures you post, and I know that me and you have a very similar palate because the stuff you post is it's so beautiful. It's a real work of art, Chef, and I know that you're using – top technology to do this, and so much love and passion goes into this hours upon hours upon hours every week to really make your diners feel loved. And from one chef to another, I appreciate you so much for doing that, because that's something I think a lot of chefs have forgotten, is how to really make love to their food and to share that experience with their clientele. All right, Chef, so moving along here, and I guess this is my very last question. Who was your mentor and everything getting you to where you're at, Chef? Because I think me and you are the same age. You're what? You're 30 years old, right?
Just turned 30. That's correct.
Okay, and I turned 30 in February, so I'm not too far away from you. And
sure.
your amount of success has just been insane. And and before we get to the Forbes thing, and I want to ask you about that. Who was the inspiration? Who took you under their wing, Chef Chris, and said, you know what? This guy, he's got the spark. He has it, and I have to help him. I have to.
Well, I think it's been more of a steering committee throughout my career rather than one specific individual. You know, I had a couple really strong mentors early on. You know, when I was in high school, I was part of this program called ProStart that we have out here in Massachusetts. That actually, I was the first class to graduate from that, but it's sort of like a vocational type program that gets you on work release and things like that. So really when I was in high school, anything I could do to avoid normal classes, but I had a great instructor in high school who saw a passion in me, told me I should go to the Culinary Institute of America. And then was paired up with a mentor from the Mass Restaurant Association who, you know, was telling me at 17 years old after, you know, 4 or 5 years of working in restaurants that, hey, you know, there's this guy out in the western suburbs who's, you know, he's got a couple TV shows and books and he's the next big thing and we want you to go work for him. And that ended up being Ming Tsai out at Blue Ginger.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So there's nothing like being a 17 or 18 year old kid, you know, in high school working with a guy like Ming Tsai the year he won the James Beard Award. And I didn't know a thing, but I was surrounded by so many brilliant chefs at that point. And to be able to put that you worked in a James Beard Award-winning kitchen as a teenager makes it a little bit easier to get yourself in the back door of other restaurants. So really, it was just right place, right time, and a great steering committee all through my career. And just, you know, one chef passing me to another chef, gaining, you know, as much experience and knowledge as I could, and then eventually just going out on my own and doing it and just, you know, having the set of balls to go and open my own place. And yeah, that's how it started.
And that's exactly what it's all about there, without a doubt, Chef. You know, it takes a risk, you know, especially me personally. I'm not just really fond of opening up my own restaurant. Not yet. I still got a lot of things I want to do. But I really admire what you've done, because at the age you've done it, you've partnered with the right people and you put together the right crews to be as successful as you are. And it's absolutely amazing. And like I said, it really is an honor to have you on, because I know there's a million things waiting for you on your desk in your office. So what I wanted to ask was, you recently received an opportunity to go to the James Beard House and cook, right?
Yeah, so I've actually cooked there six times in my career now, three times for Duave and then three times with the other chefs that I was working for or with at the time. So my most recent dinner was in June of this year. So
That's amazing. So I'm telling you, before you're 40 years old, you're going to have two of those James Beard Awards. I know it for sure, Chris. You're a rock star.
From your lips to God's ears. So.
And you know what? What I got to say now is this, and definitely not to take no credit from a James Beard Award, but it's not every day that a chef gets contacted by Forbes magazine. You got to let my listeners know a little bit about that, because that is big time right there, man. Forbes is worldwide publication.
So
please.
So Forbes got in touch with me when I was 28 years old and let me know that I'd been nominated as one of their 30 under 30 recipients on a national scale. And that was 2 years ago at 28. And honestly, I think Forbes is really more geared toward a business award rather than a chef's award because, I was the only chef. Or one of maybe, I think there was another chef too, but I think I was the only chef who was actually on the list. And it was a really interesting thing to be a part of because, you know, when you think about business acumen, there really isn't typically a correlation between chefs and being a good business person. I think that's ultimately one of the things that I'm most proud of is that I'm able to balance, a $10 million a year restaurant group with basically no investors, just my business partner and I. And almost 100 employees, and that's not something that they teach you in culinary school. And the reality of the situation is I have an associate's degree from the Culinary Institute of America in culinary arts. So it's not like I went to, Cornell or Harvard or something like that to gain this type of business knowledge. So it's really just something that I've learned on the grind every day, learning from different situations, learning with my business partner who's a couple years older than me, but not by much, and just, situational learning. And, sometimes we learn from each other, or other times we learn from lawyers or advisors or whoever the case is. But, it's really an honor when they contacted me. And, now we've got this big thing going on down in Philadelphia in October where they're actually having me compete against seven other chefs for the title of Best Young Chef in America. And that's actually happening as part of a larger festival. So there's going to be like a tech portion, a food portion. Questlove's going to be down there DJing a big party. It's really a 3-day event for Forbes magazine. So, it's an honor to be a part of that and just to be able to, show 1,000 people in Philadelphia what our food's like, whether we win or not. It's sort of secondary. I'm really excited to go down there with my team and just, cook the best food we can. And people like it, we do well, that's great. And if not, it's still tremendous exposure. And anytime you can align your brand with, a company or a brand like Forbes, you take the opportunity.
That's really just that's amazing, Chef. And what I have to say there, and it's very simple. What you're doing is really, this is like some really next level stuff. This is not just something that an everyday chef gets this opportunity, to do something like this and be nominated for being, one of the best chefs in America. And like I said, not to take anything away from the James Beard Foundation, but I think what you're being given this opportunity, win or lose or tie or whatever, you're a winner already, Chef. The fact that it's just you and a couple of other people who have this opportunity to go and do this. So is there a way to vote for you, or is this all done there at the event?
I don't think that there's any sort of online voting. There's actually a panel of different chefs and restaurateurs who are going to be voting. So I think Danny Meyer is going to be down there, a couple other big name guys. I think there's going to be two awards. I think one is going to be from the panel of judges of guys like Danny Meyer, and then there's going to be like a crowd favorite from the 1,000-plus guests that are expected to attend the 30 Under 30 food festival. So it should be exciting. There's some really talented guys coming from all over the country. A couple guys I know, a couple guys I haven't met. Like there's a guy from out in Hawaii who's pretty famous for his Hawaiian barbecue out there. I'm pretty excited to cook next to him. You know, I get to cook next to one of my buddies from culinary school, Joe Johnson, who's done some television, but he's got a place called the Cecil up in Harlem, and his food's super tight. We've been friends for years, so you know, I'm excited to cook with him and my buddy Jeff Mahan from Chicago. He's also got places in Los Angeles. So the good news is that, you know, I'm going down there with some other chefs that I know and I have a good relationship with, and we're going to cook together. We're going to have a great time. We're going to provide a night to remember for all the guests coming out. And that's really what it's about every day for me, whether it's for Forbes magazine or a D-Bar or Duave or Boston Chops. I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody's happy and having a good time and away from all their normal stresses of life when they're in my world.
That's absolutely fantastic, Chef. And you could just hear the passion in your voice, how much you really just care about the culinary arts. I mean, honestly, it's mind-blowing because of your age, you know? I mean, you talk like a chef who's, you know, been doing this for 50 years, and you're loving every minute of it, you know? And I'm so grateful that you've took time, you know, to share with us a little bit of everything here, Chef. And like I said, so I have to ask, I know that Duave was your first restaurant, right?
No, D-Bar was. So D-Bar has been open for 8 years, Duave for 4, Boston Chops for 1.5 years.
Okay, so Boston Chops is the new one. Explain to us a little bit about what the experience is for all my fellow Bostonians out there. You know what, if you ever want to go and have some amazing food, you know, give us a breakdown of the menus that you got going at these restaurants, because I got to tell you, Chef, if you were anywhere in California, I would be over there tonight, you know. Boston's a little far for me, but, you know, California, I'd be there as soon as I can. It sounds amazing.
Sure. So D-Bar is my urban bistro brasserie that also seamlessly transforms into a nightclub. Duave's my fine dining French restaurant. We've won best French restaurant in Boston for 2014. We're also AAA, four diamond, and locally we're 3 stars in the Boston Globe. And then Boston Chops is a modern interpretation of a steakhouse, we coin ourselves urban steak bistro, which basically you know, evolves the steakhouse concept into 2014 by, you know, sourcing responsibly and seasonally using the entire cow. And we show off a lot of those lesser-used parts in a section we call Rarely Celebrated, in which we display parts of the cow like heart, kidneys, oxtail, tongue, tripe, and other parts of the cow that other steakhouses might not dare to serve. But we try and take a responsibility to the entire animal, regardless of its size. And, you know, and then we just take a more responsible approach to cooking vegetables and proper sauce making, things like that that doesn't necessarily happen in every steakhouse. So each are very unique concepts, and it's very fun to, you know, compartmentalize my brain for the creative inspire for thinking completely, three completely different ways for three completely different restaurants. But that's part of what keeps it exciting for myself and my team and for the diners as well.
It sounds so delicious, Chef. And the way you break it down, I mean, I know that you spend a fair amount of time at each one of these restaurants, you know, and you're extremely busy, and we know it takes time for you to, you know, just to be able to come out here and to give a shout out to us on Grilling Ideas Radio and on the Untamed Chef, because we're heard all over the world, and it's amazing when we could bring on somebody who really has done so much in such a short amount of time in this wonderful industry that I give my sweat tears to every single second of every day. I mean, without a doubt, I can't think of what else I would rather be doing other than cooking when I'm not doing my show. So it really is a blessing, Chef Chris. And is there anybody else that you want to just give a shout out to, any good chef friends, anybody right now? Here's your chance.
Sure. Well, you know, I want to thank my mom and dad first off for pushing me into working and cooking so young. You know, they had me working. I had a lot of energy as a kid. I was always super hyperactive with like severe ADHD, and as a young kid they stuck me in my neighbor's seafood restaurant, and you know, and that's where I fell in love with it. I was like washing dishes at like age 12, and you know, by the time I was 14 I knew for sure that I wanted to be a chef. And that's not the coolest thing when you're in high school, you know. And then also, even though she's not listening because she's in Russia right now, I just wanted to thank my wife, Victoria, as well, because she's really like my rock. You know, she's really there for me all the time. She puts up with my shit and my crazy 90-hour-a-week work schedule and, you know, my obsession, and I don't know how the hell she puts up with it, but she does. And really, that's who I owe it all to right there. So
that's fantastic, Chip. And you know what's so amazing is, and that's funny, because with chefs especially, you got to have a wife who's willing to understand he's not going to be there for the baptisms and the funerals and the first communions and every other thing, you know. And that's just kind of, that's kind of our, that's our life,
yeah.
You know. We celebrate Valentine's Day on a Tuesday, not a Sunday,
yeah.
You know. That's just the way we go.
Yeah, we miss out on a lot, sadly. And, you know, as I'm getting older now, I'm starting to realize that, you know, particularly from the time I was 18 to 28, because, you know, my quality of life, my quality of personal life was very, very low until I opened Boston Shops. That's where it was like, it wasn't possible for me to do absolutely everything in every restaurant every day. I mean, when I only had the two places, I would butcher every single protein that walked in the door of both places, but with three places, it's just not possible, you know. But, you know, we do miss out on a lot, and we sacrifice a lot for this business, and oftentimes it's thankless. You know, I've worked with so many talented cooks who were so much better than I was and just never had the tools to put it all together, to get their own place together, or were never given the opportunity to, you know, be an executive chef. And it's just, you know, you see some of these guys get into their mid-30s and then they just give up and move on to something else. And it's just, you know, it's sad because we dedicate everything to this when you're passionate about it. And that's really the only way to see true success in this business, is to be in it 100%. And like you said, missing holidays and birthdays and funerals and, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, New Year's Eve, you know, that when everyone else is celebrating, you know, we're in the kitchen grinding it out, cooking. And, you know, that's the side that a lot of people don't see, you know, when they watch the Food Network or whatever food television programming they watch. That's the side of this business that they don't tell you about until you're already too deep in love with it to know. You know, I think it's very exciting that we have all this food television and that we're inspiring the young generation to want to be cooks and to want to be chefs. But I think it's also important to know and understand, you know, what you're getting yourself into when you go to these culinary schools and you come out with, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of debt to take a job for, you know, $25,000 a year, what that actually means. Because I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, you got to work for shit money for a lot of years to get anywhere in this business. And that's the only way that I knew how to do it. If somebody else knows a way to, like, make a ton of money right out of school and continue to accelerate through your entire career, I'd be all ears, but I don't know anyone to figure that out.
You appreciate it more, just like I do. You know, when we go to making crap pay, right, when we start, right when we get out of school, you know, and I usually ask my guests to tell them, you know, to give some kind of a comment to the culinarians, but I think you just nailed it right now, Chef Chris.
Well, thank you. I've had plenty of time to think about it, that's for sure. It's a consuming passion, so.
Well, I got to say that you are a rock star. You are a friend of Grilling Ideas Radio, and you're a friend of the Untamed Chef. I hope we can bang pans together one day together, and I know we'll see each other in the future. Chef Chris, I can also let you know that the program, it is recorded, so when your wife gets back from Russia, you know, just let her know you gave her a shout-out. You know, she probably already knows, but just let her know, and you share it on your Facebook any way you want, and I hope you and wish you the best, and I pray you much more success, my friend. And I hope they name
Thanks,
you
kindly.
as the best chef in America that's under the age of 30, because I'm 29 and I can't even assume to think I could do the things you're doing right now. It's really amazing,
sure.
Chef Chris, and you have been an amazing guest. And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to just come and share your heart with us. And that's exactly what I got from you, Chef Chris. I got your heart right now, and I know just by hearing you talk for 20 minutes that I know what kind of a man you are, and I can't wait to hang out with you someday, my friend.
Right on. Right back at you, brother.
You have yourself a blessed evening, and I know it's already 9:30 over there in Boston, so have a good night. Go have a glass of wine for me, Chef, and we will see each other soon, hopefully.
Will do. Speak soon. Thanks for having me on. All the best.
All righty. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, another one wrapped up. That was a very, very fun interview. Chef Christopher Coombe, I'm Albert J. Hernandez, the Unnamed Chef, and we will see you next week. God loves you. Bye now.
When you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.